Well, we've talked a lot about invasives and invasive species here on the program. As a matter of fact, this morning on Earthwise, talked a little bit about the invasive zebra mussel. A silver carp is another species that is an invasive, but thanks to a student here at UMD, they have discovered that carp respond to sound. And Brooke Vetter's joining us in the studio this morning to tell us more. Hi, Brooke.
Hi, good morning.
Congratulations. This is kind of a big discovery.
Yeah, we're really excited about the findings.
Now, remind me about the silver carp. Are those the ones that fly through the air and biff you in the head and land in your boat?
Yes.
Okay. Ah, yes, the famous flying silver biffing fish.
Yes.
Now, do we have any of those up here in the Northland, or are they mainly down more toward the cities?
Even in the cities, there's maybe a little bit of indication that there's fish there, but primarily even further south.
Okay, so that much at least is good news.
Yeah.
So tell me about how you got started on this path to this particular discovery.
So our lab is interested in fish sensory physiology and behavior. And so these fish were just naturally of interest to us. They have this really unusual jumping behavior because they're so big and so many of them jump in response to outboard motors. And so that piqued our interest, and we wanted to investigate what it was about the outboard motor sound when boats are driving through the water that makes the fish jump. So we recorded some of the boat motor sounds using hydrophones out in the Illinois River, just south of Chicago. And we took the sound back and analyzed it and looked to see what frequencies the motors were putting out there. And then we tested the carp in these big outdoor concrete ponds with just a bunch of different sound stimuli to see how the fish would respond.
Now, there was something that you discovered, that there were a couple of different kinds of sounds, and they reacted to one kind of sound, and they didn't react to the other kind of sound. Can you explain that in a way that a layperson could understand?
Sure. So, a lot of non-physical barriers, as they're called, maybe you've heard of bubble barriers,
right,
or strobe barriers, use sound stimuli as well. And so they'll use just a pure tone sound, which sounds a lot like a dial tone. And these fish can hear higher frequencies. And so these tones tend to be up around the 1,000 to 2,000 hertz frequency range. So we tested some of these higher frequency pure tone sounds. But we also thought that maybe something a little bit more complicated would be more effective. And so we actually played back outboard motor sounds that we recorded when the fish were jumping in the Illinois River, and the carp really responded to that. And so we had speakers on either end of the pond, and we had all this video surveillance so we could watch the carp swim, and then we could play sounds as they were moving back and forth along the length of these outdoor concrete ponds and get the carp to respond to that many times in a row versus the pure tones.
Now, there were some sounds that you played for the carp repeatedly, and after a few times that they heard them, they quit reacting. But there were other sounds that it seemed that they would continuously react. Which sounds were which?
Right. So the pure tones, or the dial tone sounds, they responded a few times in a row. But after that, they seemed to get used to the sound and not respond as much. And with those outboard motor recordings, so if you think about an outboard motor, there's a lot of sound going on there. It's a multiple frequencies.
Sure.
And that was the sound that they really reacted to.
And they kept reacting to it.
Right. Recordings of outboard motors.
So what happens from here? I'm thinking that this is obviously a huge, big discovery. And it seems like, oh, well, get some speakers and get this implemented in some locations and do this right away. Is that the kind of thing that you can do?
Yeah, that's what we're going to start doing this summer. We've been collaborating with researchers in La Crosse, Wisconsin, at the USGS, Upper Midwest Environmental Science Center. And that's where we did all of our testing, behavioral tests of these fish. And they have access to some really great field sites. So we'll be taking heavy industrial speakers, the big guns, out to the Illinois River this summer and looking to see how the fish respond to the sound in a more natural setting.
So you go, for example, through the summer and you do some more experimenting. And if it is successful, at what point does it kind of get taken out of your hands and implemented everywhere they want to keep silver carp out? Can you, or does the university patent this? I mean, does this become the Vetter anti-silver carp system? I mean, can you at least get your name on it?
I mean, we have submitted a publication, so yeah.
So but people from will there, know we'll, where it
yeah,
came from.
But we've been collaborating with a lot of groups, and people are very excited about this. We've done some meetings and presented this data, and so DNRs and agencies like the USGS are really ready to start trying this out in the field. So it's pretty exciting.
Maybe an endorsement deal with speakers or something, and that you can have your name on. It would be good. It would be good for you, and of course for UMD to continue to get the credit. But
sure.
Brooke, congratulations. This is really exciting, and thanks so much for coming in to talk to us about it.
All right. Thank you.
UMD student Brooke Vetter joined us in the studio this morning. She's come up with an innovative way of repelling silver carp, which is something that a lot of folks have been trying to figure out a way to do, and the experiments will continue throughout the summer.